Solicitor General Elena Kagan faced the Senate Judiciary Committee for the first time yesterday.
I will work hard, and I will do my best to consider every case impartially, modestly, with commitment to principle, and in accordance with law.
Well, the Takeaways Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick was at the hearing yesterday. And, you know, Todd, you know what I would love to hear from you right now? I'd love for you to tell me that the senators truly appreciate the gravity of these proceedings, that they acknowledge that choosing a Supreme Court justice rises above party politics, and that they are leaving partisanship at the door.
Oh, I can't tell you all three of those things. I'm sorry, Celeste. I can tell you I can tell you that they take it very seriously, and I can tell you that they do understand the gravity. I have to be honest with you, and I know you know this, they do not leave partisanship at the door, not even close.
Sorry.
This is a gigantic partisan opportunity, but it's also a big opportunity for the country, and I think many of them do take it seriously. And I have to tell you, it's not just Republicans who were on Elena Kagan's case a little bit yesterday, but let's start off with the Republicans. You hear what she said. I'll work in every case to be impartial, modest, with a commitment to principle and accordance with law. What is she saying there? She's saying, I'm not a judicial activist. That's the main theme. That's the meme against her, especially from Republicans. Now, the question is, do Republicans believe her? And of course not. They don't believe her at all. Here's what Senator John Cornyn had to say in his opening statement yesterday.
One challenge of this hearing is that even nominees that have expressly rejected the activist view before this committee, let's call it a confirmation conversion, have changed their tune after confirmation.
So he's seen past nominees promise not to be activists, and then he went on to say this.
Solicitor General, I must say that the burden is on you. I hope you can persuade us the path you would take if you were confirmed to the Supreme Court.
So, Celeste, there is some partisanship, but they also don't want to believe her billboard statement, which is, I'm not an activist.
Okay, but there was some odd, in watching the proceedings yesterday, there was an odd theme. Thurgood Marshall, Justice Thurgood Marshall, the civil rights pioneer, the first African-American to sit on the Supreme Court, one of the people most responsible for Brown versus Board of Education, his name came up 35 times during the hearings yesterday. President Obama was mentioned 14 times. What's going on here?
Well, Thurgood Marshall has become, for the right, it's a little bit curious, has become sort of the poster boy for judicial activism and liberal judging, according to the right. And a lot of this doesn't have much to do with Elena Kagan. I mean, she did clerk for him, and they want to make sure that she's not a clone of Thurgood Marshall. And here comes the left. Here comes Democrats saying, excuse me, what's wrong with Thurgood Marshall? He won Brown versus Board of Education. He was in large measure responsible, at least in part, for launching the civil rights movement. We're proud of him. Don't diss him. And it is a bit curious to a lot of people that Thurgood Marshall all of a sudden is the boogeyman of the right. But I think a lot of this is about party identity and ideology. I don't think it has much to do with Elena Kagan.
On the ideology, what did the Republicans say? What does Cornyn think? That the Supreme Court basically just takes dictation from Congress on the law? No.
He doesn't think that, but I think that he would like to see that, especially with this court, this Roberts Court, John. The conservatives are going to be in control of the court for the next, at least the next 15 years, according to the ages of the justices, as long as everyone lives a natural life. And I think that conservatives like Cornyn would like to see the court bow more to Congress and would like them to take a more literal view of the Constitution, as he thinks they did in the Second Amendment case.
Those two things aren't the same thing.
Well, they're not. They're not. But when your side's in control, they tend to be much more parallel and jive much more easily.
Okay, so she's going to take questions for the first time today. Real quickly, Todd, any predictions on what she's going to be questioned most closely on?
Judicial activism, you're not experienced, you've never been a judge, and she's going to get tough questions definitely from Republicans, but even Democrats said to her yesterday, Herb Kohl, who's a liberal, said, your judicial philosophy is invisible to us. We need to know about you. She's going to get tough questions today. Republicans are going to try to knock her off her game.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. We want to hear from you on this. What would you ask the Supreme Court nominee? You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or text us as well. Send the word TAKE to 69866.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.